And it was good to see you in the parade last night.
I have a full schedule and actually can't be, make them all. I'll be in Coffeyville and then Sedan Saturday night. Howard has their Saturday night. Unfortunately, they're all a lot of times the same time.
I know. They're stacking them all up, so it is kind of hard, Bus. You have to pick and choose, but always really neat to see. And we had a great showing last night there in Caney. A lot of entries, so that was really good to see. So it is that time of year, so looking forward to having you here tonight in Coffeyville. So I know it's always busy as we wrap up a year. You said we got some revenue numbers out. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is we were up $15 million over a year ago, but this is the first time that the consensus revenue estimating group ended a two-year cycle of when we've had exceeding estimates of revenue that actually exceeded the estimates. So we're kind of maybe a slowdown here, and this new consensus revenue estimating report, the November one is very important because that will shape the budget for the remaining months of fiscal 2023, which started last July, and it'll also set the stage for the new 2024 budget that when we go back to Topeka in January. So individual income tax receipts were $21 million below last November. But yet sales tax receipts were 15.6 above last November. So we're still seeing people spending money. And, of course, you know, with holidays, Black Friday and that, there's a lot of purchases and prior to that time, some of them start way early. But revenue may be slowing down, so we'll have to watch that. But right now we've got a surplus of money. And that can be a good thing or it can be kind of a bad thing of how we react to it. But this Sunday, area legislators will be going back to Topeka, and we'll be there through Tuesday. And all the newly elected legislators will be attending that. And we will be electing new leaderships, which will be for a two-year term. And at this time, it appears that we only have one candidate for the House Speaker, which is the lead position in the House, and yet there's five people competing for the Speaker pro tem, which is those are both constitutional positions, leadership positions, and both Democrats and Republicans will vote on them, and that's of all the positions that we have up there, those are the only two that actually technically work for both parties, and so both Democrats and Republicans, like I said, will be voting for those, and we'll be doing that on Monday. And but there's five people competing for that Speaker pro tem. It's kind of a real competitive race. They basically solicit votes from the existing legislators and the newly elected ones that are just coming on board. So the majority leader will be electing the majority leader and the assistant majority leader, a caucus chair, and a whip position. And those will be elected by the Republican Party members only. And then the Democrat Party will elect, you know, minority leaders and the same thing within their own individual caucus. So that'll be happening on Monday. And then there'll be new training session for the new legislators on Tuesday that kind of get thrown into that brand new operation. I don't care how many boards you've served on or how much experience you've had as a county commissioner, city commissioner, mayor. But we just do things different up there, and it's hard to train for it. It's really kind of tough on the new guys.
I know. I'm sure that's a big learning curve, and I know we like you said, we do have some new folks in some of those positions. What about, like, committee assignments? I mean, I know we've had some new folks elected that are maybe kind of interested in some different committees and that sort of thing. How does that work if new representatives are interested in being on some of those different committees?
Well, the newly elected speaker ultimately has the ultimate power and decision on who gets what we will do on Monday is a sheet will be passed around, and we will list the committees that we would like to serve on. And in most cases, that's based on our expertise and experience in other areas and how we've worked our life. So obviously, some committees meet at the same time, so you can't always get on all the committees you want to. But the decision will be made ultimately by leadership, primarily the speaker. And more than likely, they will contact individual and legislators, and how it's happened in the past, and they will ask, you know, would you like to serve on this committee, and maybe kind of a little short, what's your qualifications, and that works out well. We have to have a majority of Republicans, since we have 85 Republicans and 40 Democrats. There'll be a majority on the committees. Will be that percentage proportional Republican versus Democrats on committee. So hopefully people will get the committees they want, but that doesn't always happen.
Sure. You know, that's all understandable. We're speaking with Representative Doug Blex, Kansas District 12. And, sir, you also mentioned that we've got a bit of a surplus and maybe be looking at some spending priorities. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, yeah, we're running, bumping nearly $2.5 billion, which is unheard of. Budget surplus, and of course, when you have that is a good thing, because there's always a lot of needy and worthwhile projects and programs that need attention. But the problem of it is everyone will be competing for funding, and to put their pet programs and into law or into funding for those. And legislators have kind of a tough job, because we listen to people describe a situation where we need attention and need funding and to rectify that. But yet we also have to make sure, because that there's enough funds for a long-term funding. And that's not always easy, because what I found up there, and I think most legislators will say the same thing, that once you fund a program, and have it in place for a year or two, and then if you try to take funding away from that or cut it, I mean, people just, they'll squeal like a pig under a gate, and it is really tough. So we got to be pretty conscious of what we approve, and there's going to be a lot of tough decisions this year, and, it's going to be a tough year as far as, even though we've got a lot of money, that's a good thing, but yet we got to establish priorities, because looking down the road, that money, and looking at economic predictions, that money that we're seeing as a surplus may not be there, and it can go pretty quick.
Sure, and Mr. Blex, I know obviously we want to be responsible with those tax dollars that come in. I don't want to kind of play devil's advocate here, but some people might say that that surplus would be an indicator of people being taxed too much. Of course, inflation probably plays a role in here as well, I'm assuming.
That's correct, and certainly we're going to be looking at reduction of taxes on Social Security income for retirees. We see a large exodus of people leaving our state. Kansas is not really very friendly for tax-wise for retirees, and once they get their job over and they decide, well, I want to go south, or I want to go to a state that may not have income tax or may not tax Social Security. So I suspect that we will see a reduction or a possible elimination of taxes on Social Security benefits for retirees. And certainly that will be a good thing to keep our work, because not only when they leave, a lot of people don't realize, but they may have $500,000 sitting in the local banks in savings accounts or money markets or whatever. And when they move to another state, that wealth leaves that bank, which has a huge economic impact on, you know, area, community, and it's gone. So we want to encourage those people to stay in our state any way we can as far as, you know, being tax friendly.
Sure, that all makes a lot of sense, and I think that's a good little summary there. Representative Blex, anything else that you'd like to hit on today as we continue?
Well, getting a lot of reports on how to spend that money. Our state prison system needs an excess of $330 million to repair antiquated facilities, have some real major problems there. State government pay for state employees is a recent survey showing that they're about 70% of the state government jobs are paid less than market value, so we have a competitive disadvantage of retaining good quality people. Certainly, there's a huge mental health bed shortage. The facility at Larned and Osawatomie is area law enforcement have somebody that may be wanting to harm themselves, and they really have difficulty keeping them, need a mental evaluation, and they may not be able to get in there for even months. So a huge issue there that continue to give us some problems. And then certainly community corrections, juvenile justice, that issue is having some funding problem. Foster care, probably read a little bit about that. We privatized that. It's having its issue. So a lot of big things on the plate that affect a lot of people. So and we need to fund those. But at the same token, like you said, with that budget, a priority may be, it very well be, and hopefully we can do that, is to reduce taxes, because Kansas isn't a very tax-friendly state. And, you know, I get more complaints probably on property taxes than anything, and we all got our property tax statements here this last week, and it's kind of some sticker shock. And that's one tax that actually state representatives have probably not as much control as your local county commissioners and city commissioners and schools on that.
Sure, and of course, as we roll into, you know, January is not going to be too far away. Of course, Kansas is going to continue with a Democratic governor. Do you see any other big changes in Topeka as we get into the new year?
Well, certainly there'll be a push for medical marijuana. Certainly there'll be a push for Medicaid expansion, and those two things are always contentious. Again, like I say, once you start a program, once you open the gate, then sometimes you think it's going to work, and it may not work exactly like we've been told or like we expect. So we got to be pretty conscious on that. The Republican Party does have a majority, 85, which it takes 84 votes to override a governor's veto, but sometimes that can be pretty difficult, and I suspect there will be some contentious issues on how we spend that money, and certainly it will probably be a tough year. At this point, the existing governor can't be reelected again, so we will see. The gloves may go off, and we may see some tough battles.
Sure. Well, Representative Blex, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. Always interesting. And it's been good to talk. And I hope you have a good time in the parades as we continue out the Christmas season here in Southeast Kansas.
Yep. You have a good day. And may God bless us. And I want to let everybody know, if they want to contact me, just email me at Doug Blex from House.com. Kansas.gov, or contact me by phone. My door is always open.
All right. Well, Representative Blex, always a pleasure, and thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You too. And stay tuned here to the Mighty 690. We're just moments away from the news and our Ask the Experts segment here on KGGF.